Welcome to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. On this program, we'll be taking a look at the H-2A visa program. The H-2A visa program is available to U.S. employers such as farmers who are in need of agricultural work. This program allows foreign nationals to come to the U.S. and work on a seasonal basis not exceeding 10 months, and is in no way a path to citizenship. There is a lot of paperwork involved, fees, regulations, and requirements. To get a better understanding of the H-2A visa program, I spoke to Kim Noland, who is an H-2A agent in Palisade, Colorado. Kim has been an independent H-2A agent for the last 5 years, and I asked her if she could give me a bit of background and information on the program.
The H-2A program is a temporary non-immigrant labor program that brings workers from foreign countries over on non-immigrant visas for no more than 10 months to farm for farmers. They have to get a certification to get in the program before they can actually get their workers. It really got going in about, I think, 1986, but roots of the program go back to the 1940s, actually, when they used to bring workers here when there was a shortage due to the world wars during that time. But it really got going in about 1986. They revamped the program and tried to make it easier for farmers to utilize.
And what about the workers? Is there a certification process for them? How did they apply for an H-2A in Colorado?
Most of the H-2A workers, I would say the majority of them come from Mexico. They can come from literally any country, but most of them come from Mexico. And once the farmer gets certification, and then they have to get approval from the Department of Homeland Security to get the visas. And usually they're unnamed workers. And I actually use an agent in Monterrey, Mexico, to assist on that side of the border that kind of helps arrange the workers. If the farmer doesn't know who the workers are, which a lot of the farmers have a history with a lot of workers, so they know who they want to bring up. If that's the case, they just know who they're going to bring up, and they apply for their visas for them, and then they have to go through the consulate and get interviewed and make sure that they're qualified to do the work and that they don't have a reason to stay in the United States. There's a lot of qualifications that go through that process for them to actually get here. And if the farmer doesn't have the workers, then I utilize my agent in Mexico to find other workers because he deals with lots of different farm workers down there.
Are there a lot of workers wanting to come, at least in your experience, here to Colorado to work on farms?
Oh, yeah. I think there's workers that want to come anywhere to work in the United States. I mean, it's a great opportunity for them to come here. They can make, you know, a lot of money for their family and then go back home. And a lot of them farm back in Mexico. Our workers in particular, I know, farm, and I think a lot of other ones do, too.
In your 5 years, have you seen an increase in H-2A workers or a decrease?
There's definitely been an increase, and I think the increase is caused by years ago, it's just how it was. Workers would just show up. They'd show up to farms to work. After 9/11, when the borders tightened up, that's when you saw the big increase in farmers actually going into the H-2A program because they had to find a way to really legally get their workers here and assure that they're going to be here. So the H-2A program has increased dramatically over the last 5 years. And just because the labor force is getting less and less for domestic workers to come work on farms, and so the farmers have to go somewhere to get their workers. And that's why they're more and more just kind of being forced into the H-2A program.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton, and I'm speaking with Kim Noland, who is an independent H-2A agent based in Palisade, Colorado. I asked Kim what kind of challenges do agricultural employees face when they're applying for or interested in applying for visas through the H-2A program.
Housing is probably the number one struggle for agricultural employer because they have to have housing. They have to provide housing to the H-2A worker. And that housing, it can either be on their property or they can rent housing, which gets extremely expensive. Not only that, is a lot of people don't want to rent their place for 4 or 5 months when the workers are here. So that's usually the number one challenge that the employer has to look at before they get in the program, because that housing is going to have to be certified before we can even apply for the certification. And that's just kind of the beginning of the process. So that's usually what I tell the farmer is, okay, what's your housing? And then there's a lot of regulations as far as the housing goes. There's so many regulations, literally, if the housing does not have a screen on one of the windows, it wouldn't pass. That's how strict the regulations are. So a lot of the farmers, they might have a trailer or something on the property, but they have to spend a lot of money to get it in compliance. And it has to stay in compliance the whole time they're in there. So that, I would think, is the number one challenging part for the H-2A employer is the housing.
What other requirements are there?
There's a lot. So basically for the farmer, they have to go through a recruitment process because they have to try and recruit domestic workers before they can actually hire foreign workers because we don't want to displace any domestic workers. So there's a recruitment process. The farmer has to provide housing. They have to provide meals during their travel here and back, and they have to pay for their transportation from their home to the work site and back if they complete 50% of the contract. They have to provide all the tools and supplies and workers' compensation, and then they have to guarantee the worker 3/4 of the contract, whether they're going to work that or not. So if your contract's 4 months, you have to guarantee that they're going to get at least 3/4 of that labor out of that time. Those are the main requirements that the employer has to guarantee.
That's a lot. It sounds like a big commitment. Do you think it's worth it?
Yes. I've helped a lot of farmers get into it for the first time, and they're so scared of it because of all the requirements and the regulations. And it is a daunting process. The process itself takes, just to get certified, takes 3 to 4 months just to get the certification before you can bring your workers up here. So it's something you have to plan for. And once they go through it, I've had a lot of farmers at the end of the year say, that was the best thing I ever did. My workers were there. They were dependable. I got my crops done. And most of them are pretty happy with the program. The downside of that is if you don't have your workers, you're not going to have a crop. You can't harvest your crop. I mean, labor is essential to farming.
It's probably a huge relief.
Oh, yeah. Even my husband that farms, he says, you can't farm without it. You can't. My husband farms about 100 acres, and we have about 6 domestic workers that work pretty much full-time year-round, and then we supplement that with the H-2A contract. We bring in anywhere from 24 to 30 workers each year. It just depends.
And are they mostly from Mexico?
They're all from Mexico, all the H-2A workers, yeah.
Do you have any of the same workers that come back year after year?
Absolutely. The majority of all of our workers have been here coming up on the H-2A program the whole time. Most of them are related, and they're usually from the same town. If they're not related, they're closely related. Every once in a while, we might get one new one in the family that hasn't, you know, come up here, but almost always they're the same workers.
Any women out there?
We don't hire any women, but I have brought other farmers, workers up that have include women, and some of them will work in a packing shed. Actually, I've got some up in Cedar Ridge.
Oh.
I just brought in, yeah, to work in the packing shed because they were having a hard time getting their packers because of the hemp industry is taking a lot of their workers. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
You said that housing is one of the biggest struggles. Are there any other disadvantages to this program?
Probably the cost to the employer. So the wages that they have to pay the H-2A workers are set by the government. It's an adverse wage that is set annually. And this year for Colorado, the employers have to pay $13.13 an hour. So that was a huge jump from the previous year. I believe it was $11 an hour. So it went up quite a bit, and it changes every year. And then they have to guarantee them 3/4 of those hours, whether they have that work or not, once they get in the contract. And then just the cost of the program. Obviously, there's a cost to the agent to have me do all the work, but then there's all the other costs of the application fee, the visa fees. It can run upwards $10,000 minimum for an employer to bring their workers up. So that, I think, would be the downside.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And even small ones that just need a couple workers. And the only difference in the cost is the cost of the visa. I mean, you can bring 2 workers versus 20 workers, and the only cost difference is the visas that they actually get for them, which is $190 a worker. But all the other costs are the same. You're still going to end up paying $8,000 to $10,000 for
two workers.
So you might as well get a few more workers if you can afford the extra visas.
If you can, but then you have to guarantee them the labor. So it's kind of a fine line that the farmer walks trying to figure out what's the minimum he needs. You know, you don't want to get too many, but you don't want to get not enough.
Can farms share workers?
They always want to. The regulations say that a worker cannot go work for another farmer when they're under contract with a particular farmer. However, two farmers can go in and get certified together as joint employers. It's not very common. I have done it. The problem with that is when you bring your workers up, a lot of times you're going to need them at the same time when it comes to harvest. So there's a struggle, or maybe one farmer doesn't need quite as many and the other needs more. And then it just gets to any time you have two businesses having to work together, that creates, you know, a whole nother environment. So it's not very common, but it is a possibility. I've done it for farmers. It was the Cedar Edge, Austin area. The other thing that you can do is, and I believe that in Olathe, they do this for sweet corn, is they came up with an association or a co-op. So it's basically kind of coming up with another organization that's going to use all those workers for all those farmers. But essentially that creates another level of a corporation or some entity that's going to run that, run the payroll, do all that. So that gets a little complicated. But that does happen, and it does happen a lot down in Florida in the citrus area. They have huge associations that bring in all the workers, and then they farm them out to the different farmers.
What kind of farmer would you encourage to apply for this?
You know, I do it for so many different farmers. I do it for some that bring up one or two, to someone who brings up between 50 and 100 workers. It really just depends on the operation and the farmer and whether or not they can get local, stable help.
What are most of the farms that you're working with farming?
The majority of them are here in Colorado, and they're farming fruit. I do have some that are vegetable farms. I do a few nurseries, but the majority are fruit farmers.
How do you specifically help the farmers through the H-2A process?
Okay. The farmer hires me, and what I do is I prepare all the applications necessary to get the certification, and it's quite a process. It's a 3 to 4 month process that you have to start with the state level. You have to put in a job order. You have to submit a job order, and then once that gets accepted by the state, they put that in the workforce agency and put that job out there. Once that job order is out there, that triggers the housing inspection for the employer. So they get their housing inspection, and in the meantime, I start the application process with the Department of Labor, with their Office of Foreign Labor out of Chicago. Once that's submitted, that process can take about a month. And what they will do is make sure that the employer has certified housing, and then they will request that we put out employment advertising for that job, and it has to be placed in 3 different states plus locally. And I take care of that. I place all the ads and run the ads for the employer. Once that happens, then we have to wait and see if there's any responses to those ads, and then the employer has to fill out recruiting reports, which I assist them with that. Those get submitted to Chicago. Once everything's in, the Department of Labor then will certify the H-2A application. The next step then is preparing the application for the Department of Homeland Security for the visa petitions. So that's another process that takes probably 2 weeks. Once that petition is approved, then I need to get the workers' names, all their information, and submit those to my contact in Mexico so that he can contact them and he does a vetting process, make sure that they can pass and get a visa, that they haven't been here illegally. He kind of does that background check for me down there. Once that happens, then I submit to the consulate in Monterey all of their names and schedule their visa appointments. Once their visa appointments happen, that's a 3-day process that my agent assists them with down in Mexico. Once they get approved, then they travel here. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, a farmer could do it themselves, obviously, but most farmers don't have the time or the patience or the knowledge to really go through this whole process. And the government doesn't really make it easy. A lot of it is not very streamlined or electronic. Some of it is, but not the whole program. They're trying to revamp the program right now. There's a preliminary change proposed right now. It's out for comment right now through the end of September, and that is proposing to streamline the process a little bit. Not that I think it's going to really streamline it a lot for the employer, but there are some regulations in there that may change that will make it a little easier on the farmer, but the process I think will still end up being the same as far as getting the certification. The regulations that they're talking about changing have to do with some of the 3/4 guarantee, some of these kinds of things that the farmer has to comply with. So we'll see if that all goes through after the comment period. This could happen. If the proposed change goes through, it could affect the farmers next year.
Kim Nolan has been an independent H-2A agent for the last 5 years, and I asked her if she's seen any major differences between the Obama administration and Trump's administration as far as homeland security.
I haven't seen any changes. I know a lot of the farmers were really concerned early this spring with Trump, you know, threatening to shut down the border. But shutting down the border, I don't think he really meant, you know, not issuing visas, legal visas for people. So that was never a problem. Everyone, you know, the appointments went through. There was no issue. There was no backlog. I haven't really seen any difference.
What's the process like when the workers have completed their contract and they're going home, or they're meant to go home? Mm-hmm. Have you had any issues with people not leaving? And is there anyone that comes in and inspects to ensure that the workers have left?
There's not really a process that makes sure that they leave, except when the worker leaves, they have, it's called a 994 form, that when they exit the country, they have to submit at the border so that they can track that they did leave. And most of the farmers, they can only be here, the maximum visa can only be 10 months. So some farmers bring them up for two, some bring them up for the full 10 months. Some farmers have two contracts because they need, let's say, pruning in the winter, and then they need harvesting help. And the problem is once you have them up here, you can't send them home and then bring them back up, because the program right now does not allow staggered dates of need. And this is one area that they are looking at to change in this proposed rule. So that would be great, because that gets really expensive for the farmer if they have to do two contracts. It's just, they're duplicating their costs, you know, $20,000. But if they have to have them up here then, and then they have to have them up here in the summer, there's just no way around it right now with the program rules.
I know that this program is not a path to citizenship.
Correct.
But do you ever have people that want to stay?
Well, sometimes they want to go work on another contract, which they can do that, but there's a process that you have to get them switched over to another contract. Now, that could be maybe they want to go pick blueberries in Ohio or something like that, but there's a process, and a lot of times they don't do it because it's complicated and it costs the employer more money to switch a worker from one contract to the other contract. But they really cannot stay. You can get an extension for them, but you have to apply for it. And you have to apply for it before their visa expires, and that's a complicated process too. The other thing is if they're coming into the country, once they're going through their interview at the consulate, if they were to even mention that they want to stay, they probably are going to get denied a visa, because the consulate, they won't tell you any reason for a denial, and denials happen all the time to farmers. I've had a lot of them this year, and I don't know, I think the head of the consulate in Monterey changed this year, and I noticed a little bit, maybe a little tightening down of visas. I noticed more denials this year. And when that happens, a farmer can get another worker to replace them, but again, it costs them another visa to do that. Once you name a worker and you pay for that visa, that payment really is to pay for the consulate to interview them and issue the visa. So if they get denied the visa and they want to replace them with another worker, they have to pay another $190 for that visa interview process. The interview process, they just want to make sure that they don't have background of illegal history and they do not have any plans on staying in the United States.
What do you think the future is with the H-2A visa program?
Well, I think the future is it's just going to grow. it's going to grow and grow because it is getting harder and harder for employers to get workers. I know California is working really hard to increase the H-2A there because of the housing situation. Here locally, I definitely think that the hemp industry is going to start driving more H-2A workers. They're going to need labor to harvest hemp. I mean, it's a very labor-intense process. So I do think as the hemp farms get more established and they need more and more workers, they're going to have to get in the H-2A program.
Are you taking on new farmers?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, it just kind of grows and grows. You know, you can go through a lawyer, or you can go through a huge H-2A agent. There's big companies out there that do it. There's a huge one back east that does it. The thing that I think I bring to the table is my farming knowledge and my personal experience and what I do for the farmer. I talk to the farmer. They're not calling, talking to some person sitting at a desk that's handing it over to somebody else. I know their whole process and their whole application because I deal with them directly.
Awesome. Well, Kim, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your beautiful property today.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.
That was H-2A agent Kim Noland talking about the H-2A visa program and how she assists farmers in obtaining agricultural workers through the H-2A visa program. You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. In the last several years, we've seen a huge increase in approved H-2A visas in the United States. The latest Department of Labor data shows tremendous growth in the H-2A Temporary Foreign Agricultural Worker Program. The Department of Labor reportedly approved a total of 242,762 H-2A positions in the fiscal year 2018. The program has tripled in size in the last decade. For example, in 2008, 82,000 H-2A positions were certified. In Colorado, we've also seen a rise in wages. The current hourly wage for 2019 for an H-2A guest worker is $13.13 per hour, which is a 22.8% increase from Colorado's 2018 hourly wage of $10.69. Next, I spoke with Brant Harrison, who is the chair of the Ag Commission here in Colorado. Brant is also a farmer and runs Cocopelli Farms with his family in Palisade, Colorado. When I was researching the H-2A visa program, I was referred to speak to Brant and was told that he had a rather unique experience with the program. I'll let Brant explain.
When I started this, I got to thinking our church that we go to, Clifton Christian Church here in the Grand Valley, has a Spanish service, and they actually have a sister church in Nicaragua. And I got to thinking, I wonder if there would be people in that church that might want to come up with the H-2A guest worker program, which this is the first year we've ever done the guest worker program. Right now, the way the economy is, if somebody wants to work out of the orchard, they can go get a job easily. And we've just been struggling the last few years coming up with a decent, good workforce. So that's why we went with the H-2A program. So at any rate, I checked with the pastor, and they checked with the church in Nicaragua and had five guys almost immediately ready to come up. So they were all excited, and I was excited to do this as well. So I talked to our H-2A agent, and she said, you know, I've never done anybody from Nicaragua, but I'm not opposed to trying. And so anyway, the paperwork is so daunting that you hire an agent to do it. You don't do the paperwork yourself, because if you don't do it all the time, you're going to mess it up. We got everything lined out to do the people from Nicaragua. And when it got to the point where it was getting close for their actual visa interviews, I actually decided to go down to Nicaragua. I flew to Nicaragua. I met the guys. I went to the sister church and was there at the consulate when they went in for their visa interviews. I was not allowed in for their visa interviews, which, you know, didn't bother me. But I thought that the interviews were just a formality. They all came out and were all rejected for their visas. This is not the norm. Normally, in other places, the people go and get their interviews, and once in a while, some of them don't get their visas, but most of the time they do in Mexico. But this in Nicaragua was a surprise. You know, they were surprised, I was surprised that all of them were rejected. And after having gone through some other issues trying to get this resolved, I've determined it's it's all political right now. The government, I think, is convinced that if they get here, they're not going to go home. So even though we had references, everybody at the church in Nicaragua and up here all knew these guys were planning to come up here, work, and go home, that did not play into the process. I got Senator Gardner's office involved. We actually got them re-interviewed, which I thought would be, I thought we would get the skids slickened up so that it would go through, and they were denied again. And the way it was the second time, to be honest, I am kind of embarrassed to be an American the way these guys were treated at our consulate in Nicaragua. They were not shown respect. When they went in for their second interview, the person interviewing them was like, why in the world would you even come back? You didn't make it the first time. You're not going to make it this time. And they were almost ridiculed. And I just don't believe that that's appropriate for the U.S. to be doing stuff like that.
And so they never got here?
From Nicaragua, no. We wanted the guys up here for the 1st of April. And if the process had gone smoothly, like I think should have, we would have had them up here about the 5th to the 10th of April. As it was, when we finally gave up on trying to get them from Nicaragua, it was probably about the middle to the 20th of May. So that was a month and a half of work that we missed that we really needed to have had done. But when we finally decided to change directions and go through Mexico, which is pretty standard for around here, and from the time we decided to go that direction until we had the guys here on site, not just going through the process, but actually here ready to work, was 10 days.
And you just had to reapply for the visas at this point?
We just had to find guys, have them apply for visas. They had to have their passports and things. But yeah, the whole paperwork process was already done for these other guys. So we just had to get guys from Mexico. They all five got their visas first interview. And what is probably the most heartbreaking thing is, through this whole process, I knew this was a life-changing event for people from Central America and Mexico, but I don't believe I understood just how much it is. You know, these guys from Nicaragua, if they'd gotten to come up here, they would have made as much in 1 hour up here as they would have in a day down there if they have a job down there. So to be able to work all summer long at the rate that we're paying up here, you know, they can go home and build a house and pay for it. It's huge. These Nicaraguans, they don't want to move up here. They want to come up here and make some money and go home. And I don't know why it's so hard for other people to understand that concept. And I think the whole guest worker program would work so much better if that was taken into consideration. I think that a lot of the immigration issues that we have right now would have been resolved if we had had a good guest worker program to begin with. But the way we make it so hard for people to come up here, that's why people will come up here illegal and try to sneak up here. If they could come up here legal, make money, and go home, they would be glad to do that. The H-2A workers are here to work, and they do a great job.
That was Brant Harrison, owner of Cocopelli Farms in Palisade and chair of the Colorado Agricultural Commission. Next, I spoke with Ruben, who is currently working at Cocopelli Farms through the H-2A visa program. Ruben is 24 years old and is here in Colorado working to be able to support his family back in Mexico. This is his first year with the H-2A program and his first time to the United States. Ruben arrived to Cocopelli Farms in the middle of May and will head home to Mexico in mid-September. I asked Ruben how he ended up on this particular farm.
He heard it from a friend who had heard the story about Nicaragua and how the workers there were not able to come, and so they were kind of really needing to get guys, and that it was just an opportunity that was just not to be missed, and so he signed up right away.
And what was the paperwork process like? What was it like to get the visa, and was it a lot of work?
It wasn't too difficult. They went to Monterey, and there they were there for 3 days while the paperwork was processed. So it really wasn't too difficult. You just need to make sure that you have your passport and all your paperwork. And, I mean, there's obviously requirements that they have to have met before they can apply. But then he said it's fairly easy to go through the process. So,
Me presento allá a Monterrey con el pasaporte.
Also part of the process is they fingerprint you, they run the background checks, double check your passport, and then they send you to the consulate to do the interview. And then he said, usually if you're approved, you'll know within 3 to 5 hours you'll have the visa. So it's a 3-day process for them to go through all of this, and then 3 to 5 hours to find out if you got approved. So
that's pretty fast. What was the interview process like? What was it like working with the U.S. government?
So he said that the process at the U.S. consulate was actually, they were friendly. It was a fairly short interview asking him about if he had been previously in the States. And of course, since they're running the background checks, they can, you know, confirm all of this. But for the most part, yeah, just confirm where you're going to work and that it was welcoming.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. On Cocopelli Farms, how many hours per day are you working?
So typically when they first got here, because it was really busy, because they obviously got here late, it was 10-hour days. But there are some days where it could be 5.5 hours, but on average, it's the 8-hour workday. ¿Qué hacen cuando no están trabajando?
Dormir.
Yes, what do you do when you're not working? He says, sleep.
Do you want to be working in agriculture, or would you prefer to be doing other work instead?
He said he does enjoy agriculture, but that just like whatever work there is, he'll do it.
Is this a good opportunity for you to help support your family back in Mexico?
He said that it has been a great opportunity. He's been able to help his family out and that he's been wanting to come for many years and it finally happened. He said he was a bit nervous coming to the States, but more because of leaving his family behind. And that he is happy that he can help them out, but he constantly thinks about them and wants to go see them.
Based on your experience so far, do you think that you would try and get another visa to come back out to this farm or another farm?
No, pues si me traen, pues sí, con mucho gusto vendría aquí otra vez. Y si no me traen, pues le buscaría por otra parte.
He said, well, if they'll have me, he would love to come back.
In January 2019, the average daily wage in Mexico hit an all-time high of 102.68 Mexican pesos, which is equivalent to $5.10 in U.S. dollars. This year in Colorado, H2A workers are able to average around 100 U.S. dollars per day. After speaking with Ruben, it was clear to me that his intention of being here in the U.S. is to work and provide for his family and to get back home to be with them as soon as possible. Special thanks to Stefania Vasquez for helping translate this interview. You've been listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for listening.